319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, Studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Thank you for correcting my English with stinks. I am Nanja Ibuko, exchange student from Cameroon. Beef jerky time. You want some beef jerky?
Oh, please.
There is plenty of beef jerky on the Todd Brommelkamp Show. 4:06, January 2nd, 2018. Welcome in. I'm verbally writing in 2018 over 2017 for those of you that still write checks out there. Great program coming up for you today. We normally talk with him on Mondays, but we'll chat with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, coming up at the bottom of the hour. We go back-to-back Johns tonight, from John Walters to our pal John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye at 5 o'clock, previewing a little Iowa-Michigan basketball at Carver Hawkeye Arena tonight. It is a 6 o'clock tip-off as the Hawkeyes dive back into Big Ten play, taking on the Wolverines. Had a pretty good run against Michigan as of late, going back to 2014. We'll see if they can keep it going tonight, and more importantly for Hawkeye fans, put a victory in the win column in Big Ten play. We'll talk, obviously, the college football playoffs. The national championship game is set, an all-SEC affair. But is there a team out there that can lay claim to having a shot that isn't going to get one? Maybe a team that beat a team that beat the other two teams. It's very complicated. Welcome in. Plenty to get to today. The phone number to reach out to us on the Hertine and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. Also coming up today at 6 o'clock, I've reached out to some friends of the program, to some of the area teams, the Hawkeyes, the Cyclones. I've asked for their input. I wanted to know what their New Year's resolutions were, and many of them shared their New Year's resolutions with us. We're going to bring you those resolutions tonight at 6 o'clock. Plenty more to get to as well, including the NFL playoffs. The picture is set. Wild Card Week is upon us. Black Monday is in the rearview mirror. John Fox out as head coach of the Bears. Ted Thompson out as general manager of the Packers, but not before Mike McCarthy got an extra year. I know Green Bay fans are thrilled about that. So much to get to, but we are back at full strength here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer, Kyle Mann. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. We have a tongue-in-cheek poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com. Could it be any colder outside? Yes or no? The poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. He's back. How'd the Hawkeye vodka hold out?
It actually, there's less of it left than I expected there to be. The first bottle, I'll go ahead and say that it was the one that I was gifted by yourself, Todd.
Are they both gone? You're down to a bottle and a half now.
That is correct.
For those of you who may just be joining us, maybe your New Year's resolution was to listen to more KGYM. Alex was the lucky recipient of a handle of Hawkeye vodka as part of the KGYM gift exchange, the inter-building White Elephant gift exchange, and then he got another handle of Hawkeye vodka prior to the Liberty Bowl trip. And so you're telling me that that entire time you only went through half of one handle?
Yes, actually.
Even after your brother cost Memphis the bowl game, you didn't just go out to the parking lot and just start immediately guzzling?
No, because it was such a ticky-tack call
Hawkeye vodka.
I didn't blame him for it.
I felt so bad watching the game, and I feel as if the announce crew on TV tried to bail your brother Gabe out, he was flagged for a penalty, which took a Memphis touchdown off the board, and Memphis ultimately wound up losing to Iowa State by less than a touchdown. So the argument could be made that it cost Memphis the game. He was more than 3 yards downfield, and in fairness, as they pointed out on the TV broadcast, it looked like he was just looking for somebody to block. It looked like he knew that he was maybe straying a little bit far downfield and was like, oh crap, I need to block somebody. And if you're, I mean, among the tickiest of tacky things to throw a flag on, does that even make the top five in that bowl game?
No, it doesn't. But it's funny because
neither side can complain about the officiating in that game, in my opinion. That won't stop most fans of one of the teams from complaining about the officials in that game, but that's neither here nor there. It's in their DNA. They can't help it.
The umpire, the back judge, basically on that play told him, hey, watch your, gave him a warning on that play. And it was the side judge from 30 yards away that made the call on that
it's
particular play.
It's always the guy from 30 yards away that's throwing the flag, isn't it?
It is. But hey, they missed a 38-yard field goal after that.
What conference were they from?
The Pac-12.
It was a Pac-12 officiating career. That was a facetious. I was being facetious. And name me a Pac-12 officiated bowl game that has gone off smoothly in recent years. The Pac-12 officiating comes under the bright lights of bowl season, but I made a comment yesterday on Twitter, as I'm wont to do. I often put my foot in my mouth, and I said that it was sacrilegious watching a Big 12 and SEC team Rose Bowl. And then, of course, we were gifted with one of the most entertaining Rose Bowls of all time, the first ever overtime Rose Bowl game. And I still stand by my words. I am somebody that grew up watching, even when it was lopsided, Pac-12 or Pac-10, Big 10, Rose Bowls. It's just that game is a little sacred to me. I didn't enjoy watching those two teams play at the Rose Bowl last night, but I certainly enjoyed the game. And then on the other side of things, you have Alabama once again asserting its dominance in the world of college football. And we've got an all-SEC championship game to look forward to now. And you've got Auburn, which beat both of the teams that will be playing in the championship game. And Auburn loses to Central Florida. And Central Florida is undefeated. And Scott Frost, who's going to be the head coach of the Huskers at Nebraska, but is currently still... I mean, there were a lot of stories to unpack from the last couple games, the last couple days of bowl games that we've seen. Now, we've been together on Thursday and Friday after I get back from New York City, but Alex has been gone, so it's a good opportunity to get caught up. How was your New Year's?
It was great. It was a good vacation time. Got to spend a lot of time with family, and Christmas and New Year's went smoothly. How about yourself?
It was okay, and for the first time in a long time, I was home for New Year's, because traditionally I'm out of town with the Iowa football team covering a bowl game, and the Hawkeyes took care of that this year by making it to a bowl game and playing December 27th. And I will say this, I owe the people of Eastern Iowa an extended apology, because I was in New York City this time last week, and I remember not looking forward to the Pinstripe Bowl. And I remember sitting at the Pinstripe Bowl last Wednesday thinking that I was freezing my rear end off when the temperatures were in the teens. And I remember sitting there thinking, I don't think my life can get much worse than this. And then the last couple days happened here in Eastern Iowa, temperature-wise. And my vehicle is all screwy because it keeps trying to convince me that the tire pressure is low, and because the cold air has affected the tire pressure, and it's so cold out the last couple of days, it just takes your breath away. I mean, this is absolutely miserable. I don't know how people can live in temperatures this cold.
I'm glad you said this, Todd.
So I am sorry that last week I was in New York City complaining about how cold it was when that would feel downright tropical. If you put me in a time machine, I could go back to Yankee Stadium. I would cover that game in shorts and a light jacket at this point because it would feel as if I were in some sort of tropical location.
And I guess I'll apologize too because I sat there at the Liberty Bowl kind of having that same feeling. Not necessarily that it was that my life couldn't get any worse than this because of the weather, but I sat there thinking it was cold. It was 30 degrees. And it kept getting a little bit cold.
Well,
I think it got down into
the
20s.
What the Hawkeye vodka was for.
Had you drank
a little bit more of the Hawkeye vodka. Are you a New Year's resolution guy?
No.
You're not on my list. You're not on my list of people who shared their New Year's resolutions with me. So I didn't know.
Yeah,
I really don't
have one.
I had to ask.
Maybe
Gary Barta's on here. Jamie Pollard, Brian Ference. We'll get to these
people,
coming up at 6 o'clock.
All those people gave you a New Year's resolution. They all willingly shared
what their New Year's resolution. Now, this is not, as far as I understand it, like a birthday where you're blowing out a candle on a cake, and if you say what the wish is out loud, then it negates it or ruins it. But these people were kind enough to share with me. And Mark Dukes, our very own Mark Dukes, is on here as well. We'll get to those resolutions coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. And if you'd like to share yours with us, you certainly can as well on the Hertin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. It is 12, 13 minutes into the program, and I haven't even mentioned what I felt was going to be a big story. And then, of course, the SEC had to go and set up an all-SEC national title game. But the Big Ten goes 7-1 in its bowl games, with the one loss being Michigan to South Carolina in the Outback Bowl. And I didn't think there was anything that could bring the Big Ten fan bases together. But apparently it was Michigan losing in the Outback Bowl.
The Big Ten fans were more excited to say that they were 7-1 with a one loss being Michigan than they would have been if they would have gone 8-0.
Yes. I think almost undoubtedly across the board. Ohio State fans, Wisconsin fans, I think there were even some Iowa fans that were happy. Now, of course, this becomes a story because you have Black Monday yesterday, NFL coaches losing their jobs right and left, including former Hawkeye Jim Caldwell, who's out in Detroit. John Fox is out in Chicago. I know the list is very long as far as candidates that they'll be looking at to replace him, but Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniel keeps coming up in the discussion. The Lions appear to be looking at Matt Patricia, who's the defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. This is going to be fascinating to watch play out. But we've got plenty to get to today on the program, including your texts, 319-366-1600. Why didn't the Big Ten get enough credit for doing what it did? If it had been the SEC or maybe another conference, you'd be hearing about how great it was, what a great bowl performance it was. The Big Ten does what it did, and all of a sudden, it's the old narrative, well, the games don't matter. It's the matchups. The teams they played didn't want to be there. I think you have to give... And look, I thought Wisconsin would probably lose to Miami. Wisconsin looked terrific. And Paul Christ caught on camera saying something about Miami's turnover chain, which if you haven't seen that clip
classic.
Yet, you can find it. It's all over the place online. I think I even retweeted it from my Twitter account, which is at Todd Brommelkamp, at KGYM Radio, if you want to reach out to us. He wasn't a fan of the turnover chain at Miami, to put it bluntly. But Wisconsin looked fantastic. You had a hard time convincing me that the Big Ten didn't show up and show up in a big way this bowl season. And then, of course, they're outshined, if you will, by the SEC. And now that debate is on tap as to whether or not the college football playoff system actually works, because you've got two teams that are playing for the national championship, both of whom lost to a team that lost to an undefeated team that was left out of the playoffs. I think this is just another log on the fire of we need to expand the playoffs. This is exactly what the people who want the playoffs expanded were hoping for. Another season with controversy. Not that this is necessarily controversial, but the way that things set up, the final championship game next week, who's playing in it, what they did during the regular season, it's hard to defend the process at this point for some people.
It is, but I want to return to some of these arguments that these people that you're talking about have made, because I know that we're in 2018 now, and previously in 2017, we have a new controversy every week in the minds of some people. So let's return to last week or 2 weeks ago's controversy. Alabama, a lot of people thought Alabama shouldn't have been in the college football playoff. A lot of people thought that Ohio State should have been in ahead of Alabama. And I look at some of these storylines, and I guess I kind of lump all of them together, but you look back on them, and nobody wants to talk about the fact that, and this was people in the media. These were former players, Danny Cannell, Joel Klatt come to mind, making the argument that what looks like the best team in college football, a team that lost one time on the road during the regular season to Auburn in a heartbreaker, should not have been in the college football playoff. So yeah, we can get into UCF. I've been saying that for a while. I think it's funny that now people jump on that, and I get it. They hadn't played a top level team, but if you would have watched them during the regular season, and I get that a lot of people don't watch that conference, but if you would have watched them, you would have realized that they were by far the best non-Power 5 team in the college football playoff era, which would be the last 4 years. And as far as the Big Ten goes, I agree with Cage and Troy's text. I don't put a whole lot of stock into bowl games. I think about last year and the year before when the Big Ten didn't perform very well in the bowl games. I put a lot more stock in non-conference games. I put a lot more stock in what happens during the regular season than what happens in a lot of these glorified scrimmages during the postseason. And when the Big Ten doesn't do as well as people predicted in the bowl games, I sit there and defend them, and then when they do this well, I go back and say, yeah, bowl results don't make a whole heck of a lot of
that?
Difference.
Iowa State fans, Memphis loses to Iowa State in the Liberty Bowl, and it's a glorified scrimmage. Listen to this guy over here. Holy cow. Did you get that, Kyle? Do we have the audio there? Glorified scrimmages. I know exactly what you're talking about. Look, I don't understand why, because I've lived this. We've had to hear about the Big Ten the past several years and its bowl performances. So you can't just say that it's no big deal this year when they do well, when you made a big deal out of it the last 3 or 4 years when the conference hasn't looked all that great. I don't get why the sudden shift in focus on the conference performances. It's because it doesn't fit everyone's narratives is what it is.
Well, it's exactly the same argument that you hear about when people are trying, going back to the UCF argument. This is UCF Super Bowl and Auburn. Auburn didn't want to be there.
Auburn didn't want to get embarrassed by a non-power. Save me that.
Yeah, exactly.
Auburn doesn't want to get embarrassed by a non-Power 5 team. It's the same with Wisconsin having to play Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl last year. You can say, well, the Badgers don't want to be there. They don't want to be playing a team that would show up on their schedule in September. No Power 5 team wants to lose to a non-Power 5 team in a bowl game because it's embarrassing. So don't try to sell me on Auburn not wanting to win that game the other day. They would have given anything to beat Central Florida. They didn't. And now Central Florida, probably the best 24 hours in that school's history, because they've turned to social media to create this campaign about them being the true national champions, and everybody's talking about Central Florida. Good on them. And of course, you've got Nebraska fans who by proxy are claiming that somehow, you know, that victory matters to them almost as much as it does to Central Florida, because Scott Frost coached the Knights to the undefeated season, and he's taking his show to Lincoln. And as our pal Sean Keeler from the Land of Ten said, some assembly will be required. This is not an out-of-the-box Scott Frost that Nebraska is getting. They're going to have to take some time to change some things around. But let's put it this way. I think the Big Ten probably paid attention and was served notice watching Scott Frost. If you watch that Central Florida game the other day, you get a good idea of what Scott Frost likes to do. And start picturing that in Minneapolis and Iowa City and Madison. Not much fun moving forward. LowTUSA.com is a website to check out if you're a guy feeling the effects of low testosterone. Maybe you don't even know what that is. Well, low testosterone can affect men in a number of ways. Every guy has a certain level of testosterone in their bodies. It doesn't always stay at the same level. The older you get, the chances are that your testosterone is dropping. Now, is it dropping to the point where it's affecting your daily life? You tell me. How's your memory? Carrying 10, 15 extra pounds around your weight? How are things in the bedroom? Things like that. If any of those things sort of raised a red flag or set off an alarm bell for you, LowTUSA.com is the website to check out. Mantality has a new men's health clinic in North Liberty that can get you back to feeling like your old self. You can check them out. They are taking appointments right now. This is unlike any doctor's office you've ever been to, and it is a doctor's office. That means insurance takes care of your visit. You're dealing with actual physicians, nurse practitioners, and whatnot. And the best part is they've got a 90% success rate regardless of your physical health when you walk in the door. Men of all shapes and sizes, whether you're out of shape, whether you're in shape, Mantality, LowTUSA.com can get you feeling like your old self. 427, we'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back, we'll get you your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the new year. And we'll have John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, joining us in just a few minutes. 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Get out of the cold and warm up with some Hot Stove Baseball. The Cedar Rapids Colonels will host the 22nd Annual Hot Stove Banquet Wednesday, January 17th at the East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and a special visit from the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, featuring former Colonels and current Twins Mitch Garver and Zach Granite, along with radio broadcaster Chris Atterbury. Tickets are $45 and all proceeds benefit the Colonels Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonels Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
Yeah, I caught myself thinking about the hot stove banquet earlier today, trying to think warm thoughts and think a little baseball, try to raise the temperature a degree or two. Now, I couldn't agree more with 0332 on the Hertine and Stocker text line. You have to discount the fact that Central Florida wouldn't have zero losses in a Power 5 conference. I think that's a huge part of the story here. You put Central Florida in the Big Ten or the SEC or any other Power 5 conference, chances are they're stubbing their toe one, two, or more games. They're not going undefeated in a Power 5 conference. So, look, I like the way that the system is set up. You give a team from outside of the Power 5 a shot. And in this instance, it was Central Florida, and they made the most of it. Unlike Western Michigan a year ago and teams that we've seen in the past. But the way that college football is, I think it's easy to sit here and say, well, you know, they're undefeated. And right, but they didn't do it by going through the meat grinder of the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12. Now, it's all hypothetical to a point. Maybe they would go undefeated in the Big Ten or the SEC. But chances are they wouldn't. And I think most people can recognize that. But they did go undefeated. It's not their fault that they play in that conference. It's not their fault that they have that schedule. The only, correct me if I'm wrong here, the only top 25 team they played was Memphis, right?
Correct.
They played them twice.
Yes.
Beat them twice. And then, obviously, they beat Auburn the other day. But they're not exactly facing a murderer's row. So I understand why people out there have a great deal of trepidation in looking at Central Florida and saying, yeah, that team has a right to lay claim to a spot in the playoffs and got left out and they should be upset about it. Are we having this discussion if they lose to Auburn? No, we're not. 319-366-1600. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got our first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of 2018. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Matt Campbell and the Iowa State football team beat Memphis 21-20 in the Liberty Bowl over the break. They were led by Alan Lazard, who tied a Liberty Bowl record with 10 receptions along with 142 yards, a touchdown, and an MVP award. Fittingly, fellow senior Joel Lanning finished with 4 tackles, a sack, and a rushing touchdown. Cyclones finished 8-5, the program's best mark since the turn of the century. Iowa freshman Luca Garza was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week for his performance in Iowa's 98-75 victory over Northern Illinois last week. He led with 25.7 rebounds and 5 blocks in just 16 minutes of action, and was even a perfect 8-for-8 from the floor, including 3-for-3 from beyond the arc. This is Garza's second time winning the award, and he'll try to continue his strong play tonight as the Hawkeyes open Big Ten play hosting Michigan, with tip-off set for 6:01. The Iowa women pulled off an upset over then 21st ranked Michigan, 82-72 on New Year's Eve. Megan Gustafson led with 27 points and 11 rebounds for her 14th double-double, along with 6 blocks, which brings me to the next award. She was named the Big Ten Player of the Week once again. That makes 5 times in 8 weeks, and just for reference, that's in the same conference as two of the nation's top 5 scorers. She's got the Hawkeyes ranked 18th this week and off to their best start since 1995-96. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and on the FM frequencies, we'll have ESPN programming.
Hawkeye men in action tonight, taking on Michigan. Iowa State suffering a tough loss last night in overtime against Texas. Shaka Smart and the Longhorns coming into Hilton Coliseum and escaping with a 74-70 win. So Iowa State, Iowa, and UNI all 0-2 in conference play. Let's talk with John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, joins us next.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Breaking news, the Bengals signing coach Marv Lewis to a 2-year contract extension through the 2019 season. Cardinals quarterback Carson Palmer retiring after 15 NFL seasons. The 38-year-old was drafted first overall by the Bengals in 2003. Major changes this NFL offseason for Green Bay. Not at head coach, though. Team gave Mike McCarthy an extension through the 2019 season. NBA, Isaiah Thomas will make his debut for the Cavaliers tonight versus the Blazers. Thomas, rehabbing from a hip injury, will come off the bench beyond a minute restriction. Portland's Damian Lillard returns from a hamstring injury tonight. Alabama, 4.5-point favorite over Georgia in the college football playoff national title game. Game marks the 12th time Nick Saban faces a former assistant, and line play will be one key to the matchup, notes ESPN's Tom Rinaldi.
If you like play at the line of scrimmage, this is your game. I think you're really going to see a tremendous fight in the trenches in this football game. And there are going to be a couple of chunk plays that are going to decide it.
Our Tom Rinaldi on Golic and Wingo.
Right now at Pizza Hut, get 50% off all menu-priced pizzas when you order online for a limited time. That's 50% off your favorites, like hand-tossed pepperoni, meat lovers, or even original pan supreme. But hurry, this deal ends soon. No one out-pizzas the Hut.
Get organized inside and out at the Store More, Save More event going on right now at the Home Depot. It's easy to declutter with Sterilite 64-quart latching totes. They're a special buy at just $6.48 each. They have a new space-saving shape, and they're clear, so you can see exactly what you've stored. Storage needs come in all shapes and sizes, so do storage solutions at the Store More, Save More event, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through February 4th, available in store and online while supplies last.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com. People make your business work. But how do you find the right talent? ZipRecruiter. One click posts your job to over 100 top job boards. Then, smart matching technology instantly alerts quality candidates about your job. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The right candidates are out there. This is how you find them. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Will Show. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Will Show.
I'm a squeaky toy, and I've got one job, getting chomped on by this little ankle sniffer. So pardon me for feeling inept compared to Geico, who does so much more. Like, while I'm getting slobbered on, Geico is creating cool technology like their mobile app, which lets people pay their bills or file a claim. Plus, Geico is the fastest growing auto insurer for the last 10 years. Is it too much for me to ask for one more feature? Fast and friendly claim service like Geico, maybe? Oh, great. I'm getting buried again.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Welcome back in 436, the Todd Brolenkamp Show with you for another year here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, our North and South Gym frequencies, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Plenty to get to, including a chat with our pal John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye. He's going to be with us to kick off hour number two tonight. Keep reminding myself that it is a Tuesday and not a Monday. Yesterday being New Year's Day, we were off, so there was no local programming, so it's going to be a short week. And as such, we've moved some things around for you, but felt that it was important to touch base with someone that I know Cyclone fans enjoy hearing from weekly here on the program. The last time that we chatted with him, we said we would touch base with him in the new year, and that's exactly what we're doing. It's the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, John Walters, fresh off a trip to Memphis and a victorious run at the Liberty Bowl. And John, I want you to put into your own words what you saw from Cyclone fans in Memphis over the holiday break.
Well, a lot of them, for one thing. There were a bunch there, and they did a great job. The Bowl did of putting on a great event, as they always do. And you know, anytime a bowl is drivable for Iowa State fans, they're going to be there in great numbers. They would have been there in great numbers anyway in Orlando or Phoenix or wherever Iowa State went. But the fact that it was a drivable game, I knew there would be a ton of fans down there, and there were. I don't know an official estimate. I would guess around 25,000 Iowa State fans were there for the game. And it was great. I mean, I think they really enjoyed their trip. The weather was obviously very cold on game day, but that was better than it being wet and cold, which it was last time we were there 5 years ago. And obviously the game itself was very exciting and really an edge of your seat type of game the whole time. So I think everybody that went had a great, great experience, and it was certainly a worthwhile deal for Iowa State and a great representation to see that many fans travel. I think really bodes well for Iowa State for future bowl games.
John, on a day when the running game was really slowed down by the Memphis defense, how great was it to see the passing game, and namely Alan Lazard in his final game, pull as much weight as they did?
Yeah, Lazard was phenomenal. I mean, he had a great game, and Hakeem Butler was really good too, and they needed that passing game to be pretty effective. And, you know, Kyle Kemp didn't throw the prettiest ball. There were a lot of wounded ducks, but the wind had a lot to do with that, but he doesn't have the strongest arm. And I mean, I think some of his passes looked a little bit uglier than Riley Ferguson's passes. But the bottom line is, a lot of them got where they needed to go, and they were caught. And Alan Lazard had so much to do with that. And it was very important for Iowa State to establish something with the passing game, because they just, as you mentioned, could not run the football. And that's an area that really needs to improve. I mean, that's something that going into next season, they've got to figure out a way to open up better holes for David Montgomery. You've got one of the nation's top running backs. You've got to be able to give him more running room than that. And that offensive line, I think, throughout the year did a great job of pass protection. They kept their quarterbacks upright. They played four different guys, and they all had their levels of success at quarterback, and I think that was in large part because of the offensive line. But the run blocking certainly is going to have to improve next year, and it was imperative that they have some success throwing the football, because you know Memphis is going to score some, you know, and thankfully Iowa State was able to get some points on the board through the air.
The games in the past, I don't want to talk too much about the specifics of the game, but what does that win mean for the program? Obviously, going in, everybody was talking about how Iowa State needed to win that game, but what does actually winning that game do for them moving forward?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a one-point win. And as Eric Heft often says, the difference between winning and losing is often a very fine line. But the difference in the way you feel is like the Grand Canyon, you know, and that's the truth. It really it's a win, and it's a win over, I think, a very good football team. And it's the eighth win of the year, which is fantastic, and it's the fifth road win, which is really amazing, and the third win over a ranked team, which, you know, Iowa State had only won 17 games in its history against ranked teams. To win three this season, get that number up to 20, was pretty amazing. And I mean, two of those were top five teams, and then you throw in Memphis. So, you know, a lot of good accomplishments for this team, but I think it just gives everybody a good taste going forward of what can happen when you work hard. And I think the message from Matt Campbell to his team right after the game is, it reminds me a little bit of when they beat Oklahoma, and he immediately said after the game, don't let this be the pinnacle of your season. You know, he said, don't let this be the only thing that when we look back at this season, the whole highlight tape is of us, you know, beating Oklahoma and nothing else, because we didn't, you know, appreciate what we had and continued to work to do more things like that. And so right after this game, he said to the team, you know, and I think the message was to the guys that are returning, this win doesn't entitle us to anything, you know, and it's a great message to continue to hammer home. And the message is, you know, you're going to go back home. A lot of people are going to be patting you on the back. You're going to be feeling pretty good about an 8-5 season, and you should, but it doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be able to do it all again next year unless you work just as hard at it as you did this year, and hopefully take it even further than that kind of a record and that kind of success. So he always has one eye on the big picture, Matt does, and I think it's good that he made that about the seniors, and that was the appropriate message. But at the same time, there was a message in there for the young guys, too, to you know, continue to love the process, as he says, because there's a lot of work to be done between now and next September.
So let's talk a little bit about the big picture, and I'm going to get hypothetical here for a second. I know Kyle Kempt is trying to get a six-year of eligibility. For the sake of argument, let's say that he does. Are we looking at a possible quarterback battle next year that could go into August between him and Zeb Noland?
Boy, it's just it's such a speculative deal, being, because I don't know that he's automatically going to get that sixth year. I think it's a real long shot that he does. I would assume, though, that yes, if he does get granted that year, that they're not just going to automatically hand him the job. I do think he'd be the guy to beat. But Zeb did some good things and showed some good things this year. And I don't think anything's been determined yet on who's number one on the depth chart, other than probably David Montgomery and a couple other guys that are pretty good safe bets. But I think, you know, based on the year that Kyle had, he'd be the front runner going into spring ball if that was the case. But it's just such a long shot. I just don't know that it's going to happen.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brolenkamp Show. Big picture, what does this do for the fans' expectations for this program moving forward?
I think they're going to be high. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys returning on defense. There's some really good position players on offense that are returning. You continue to hear about these young guys that are in the program that they're really excited about, Kane DeWongu and Tariq Milton and some of these guys that aren't playing this year that the coaches are very excited about. And whenever they've said that, it's proven to be that they are not just blowing smoke. Those guys end up being legit, and I think you're going to see some other real good players hit the field for the first time next year that we haven't seen much of yet. And so I think expectations will be high. I think the fan base will be ready to gobble up season tickets and fill up the stadium. The schedule's attractive next year. There's three games in September at home, which is always nice. The weather's always great for those games. There's, I think, a couple in October, and then, you know, maybe two in November. I think there's seven home games next year. So it's an attractive schedule. It's a good schedule. But I think more than anything, people are just excited about this program and the direction like they feel it's heading, and they want to be a part of that. So I would anticipate really, really good season ticket sales over the off season.
John, I think it was Tom Herman who talked about the Iowa State defense, saying that they had schemes that they hadn't seen from them the past year and a half. And then you saw what that defense did to Oklahoma, confusing them so much, and then TCU, and then capping off the year against Memphis, holding them four touchdowns below their season average. Is it safe to say that John Haycock may be one of the better defensive coordinators in college football at this point?
I think it is. I think he definitely is that. And, you know, I when you start ranking what they did this season in this game versus that game versus that game, I think this one might be right up at the top of the list defensively because of the news that they got, you know, that they weren't going to have Everett Edwards and Kamari Cotton Moya. I mean, and then to have DeAndre Payne go down 6 minutes into the game and not return, now all of a sudden you have three guys that are starters in your secondary that aren't out there. And to still hold that offense, which had been so explosive, to 20 points, I think was really remarkable and real tip of the cap to Coach Haycock. And I know a lot of Iowa State fans aren't fans of Coach Stubberville, who did the color on TV. I get it. I know he makes some mistakes, and he called him the Hawkeyes again, and he's not perfect, okay? But I thought he made a really good point when I was watching back the game, that Memphis is used to scoring on, you know, really quick-hitting drives. They get a lot of touchdown drives where it's two, three, four plays, and it's just right down the field, and they're in the end zone. And, you know, he said they're going to have to work, you know, to get their touchdowns today. That's Iowa State's whole goal, is to make them really earn it over a 10 or 11 play drive, because the bet is that they'll make a mistake somewhere along the line, or Iowa State will make a play, get a sack or a tackle for loss that'll get them off stride. And that's exactly what happened. And I think it reminds me a little bit of, you know, what Wally Burnham's philosophy was defensively at Iowa State too. It wasn't really that far removed from it, which was to make you earn everything down the field. Yes, you're going to give up some plays underneath. Yes, you're going to give up some yards, but at the end of it, what's the number up on the scoreboard? And that's what they're worried about. And to hold that offense to 20 was really, really good.
Before we let you go, tough start to the Big 12 season for Steve Prohm and the men, 0-2 in a overtime loss to Texas last night. Lindell Wigginton kind of up and down so far, but Cameron Lard last night, a tremendous performance, unfortunately, had to come in a losing effort.
Yeah, he's really good. It's fun to watch him play and see how he's developing. And I mean, he really fills up a stat sheet in a short period of time. I looked down at one point, he'd been in the game for about, you know, 13, 14 minutes of playing time, and he already was closing in on a double-double and had three block shots. I mean, the guy is very bouncy and active. He's always involved in everything around the rim. And to do what he did against Mohamed Bamba is going to really help Cameron going forward, not only within this season, but even at his career and his professional career, it's going to help him, because you know that every NBA scout is paying attention to everything that Bamba does. And, I mean, the guy's coming off a 22-point, 15-rebound, 8-block shot game against Kansas, and he comes into Hilton Coliseum, and he was good. It's not that Bamba wasn't good, but Lard outplayed him, you know, and really did it for the entire night. And that says a lot about Cameron Lard and how he likes to compete. And I thought Solomon Young played pretty well down on the block too against Bamba and their big guys. So, you know, it wasn't perfect. Obviously, they lost the basketball game. I do think they were much better than they were against Kansas State. But going forward, you know, this is going to be a tough league, and there's going to be a lot of nights where you say to yourself, "Man, when do we get a break?" But at the same time, you got to look at it the other way. Every game is an opportunity for a good win, you know, and you're not going to get a win that people are just going to shrug their shoulders at. If you beat any of these teams, It's going to be a good win. I think every team that's going to come into Hilton Coliseum the rest of the year is going to be ranked, or at least ranked at some point during the season, and that includes Tennessee, who they'll see in the SEC Challenge. So, you know, there's some great opportunities ahead on Iowa State's schedule. I think when Iowa State started 0-2 at the non-conference, a lot of people thought, oh boy, this is going to be a long year. And then they got to figure it out and won 9 in a row. And I'm not saying they're going to win 9 in a row against the Big 12 teams. I don't think that'll happen. But I do think they can get the ship righted and get back on track. But they got to start doing it pretty soon. And I think they took a step forward last night, but hopefully they can take a big step forward this Saturday down in Stillwater.
Great stuff as always, John. We will touch base with you next Monday when we get back on a regular schedule. Thanks for accommodating us today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. When he joins us on Monday, his appearance is sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner.
I have to give the Iowa State fans all kinds of credit, the ones that traveled to Memphis and made that the atmosphere that it was, and interacted with a lot of them down there on Beale Street the day of or day before the game for the parade and the
they sort of took over Memphis.
They took over the downtown area the night before the game.
They drank Jerry the King Lawler's bar out of Busch Light
and Tin Roof, another bar that I frequent when I'm in the Memphis area. So interacted with a lot of them, and it was a really fun time down there. Game day atmosphere, the before the game and then after the game as well. And driving back up Highway 55, you saw a lot of them on the road the day that we drove home as well. So it was a really good experience down there. I know that their fans are a lot more excited than I am right now to talk about it.
Expectation wise, as John said, I think it puts expectations through the roof. And if you're Matt Campbell, I think you have to worry about how you manage those expectations going into next season. And I'll tell you right now, because I've been there, done that, seen it, and lived it, it's easier said than done to have the type of year that Iowa State did this year. Year in and year out. I mean, it's not going to be as simple as just putting on the shoulder pads and going out and winning 8 and 9 games a year from here on out. The Cyclones are going to have to work at it. They're going to have to continue to recruit well. They're going to have to continue to execute on the field. And what happens when they do stub their toe or they take a step back and they win 6 or 7 games instead of 8 games? I mean, I don't want to sit here and think about it, but I saw a lot of people getting carried away after that victory, and all I could think of was temper your expectations here, because that's how things get out of hand and spiral out of control. And so it's a nice win. It was a great season, but let's not put the cart ahead of the horse here and go out and do it again next year, because it's going to be equally challenging. There are a lot of talented parts, including Alan Lazard, who aren't going to be there next year for the Cyclones. And I think most people realize that. And I'm not saying don't enjoy the victory and don't live in the moment, but if your expectations are sky high for next year, try to remind yourself there's a lot of talent that's going to be missing that was on that field for the Liberty Bowl.
There's going to be a lot of talent missing, and their margin for error this year wasn't great. And I looked at this team this year, and you just kind of still wonder how they did it. How were they able to slow down the offenses that they did and win those games against TCU and Oklahoma? Because there's nothing other than their running back and their middle linebacker and Joel Lanning, and I guess you can throw Alan Lazard in there as well, and Brian Peavy is an outstanding cornerback, but their talent level still isn't where Matt Campbell wants it to be. It's going to take a few years to get that type of talent into the program. They're such a well-coached team that they operated well in close games after that early loss to Iowa, and that's really what led to some of the victories that they had later in the season. But When you have a team that's margin for error is as thin as it is right now for Iowa State, you're not guaranteed that you're going to win eight games a year. I still think that because of the coach that they have right now, they're going to win six, seven games next year, or possibly eight or nine. But it's no guarantee, as you said, based on the fact that they were played in a lot of close games.
Cajun Troy on the text line says, why so many questions about ISU's future? Campbell has proven he can do his job. Well, we've certainly seen a number of college football coaches have success the first couple seasons, and then things change drastically. I'm not saying that that's going to be the case with Matt Campbell, but it's hardly the first time we've ever seen a young coach have success right out of the gate. It's not having success. It's maintaining it. That's part of the problem for most college football coaches. It's relatively easy to have success, and I say that as somebody who couldn't win two games on Madden, let alone in real life. But you can be successful. It's maintaining that level where it gets to be difficult, because once you are successful, then you've got to worry about the expectations and the fan base, and it catches up with you. It does.
And I think that the expectations are an important point, because the expectations of the fans are, okay, well, they won eight games. That means that they should win 10 games next year and 12 games the year after that and 14 games, even though that's impossible, the year after that. As PJ Fleck said, success in the process is not a linear thing. Yes, they win eight games this year. Maybe next year they win seven games. That doesn't necessarily make it a failure, because you have to have a context to the bigger picture and where this team is heading. I think the future is bright. But like you said, the expectations thing already kind of makes me a little bit uncomfortable to think about, oh, well, that they won eight games, they should win 10 games this year or next year. That's not how this works.
Our future is very bright, because we're going to be talking with John Bonenkamp for the Burlington Hawkeye coming up in just a bit. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back. Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you as we bring hour number one to a close. Back with more after this.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit AutoZone now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at $29.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Welcome back in, 458. It looks like the right lane of I-380 near Wilson Avenue heading northbound is back open again. There was a little bit of a traffic jam there due to an accident involving a semi, but the latest that we've got here says that roadway has been reopened again. So if you're on 380, it looks like, at least for the moment, clear going. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa freshman Luca Garza was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week for his performance in Iowa's 98-75 victory over Northern Illinois. He led with 25.7 rebounds and 5 blocks in just 16 minutes of action, and was even a perfect 8-for-8 from the floor, including 3-for-3 from beyond the arc. This is Garza's second time winning the award, and he'll try to continue his strong play tonight as the Hawkeyes open Big Ten play hosting Michigan, with tip-off set for 6:01. The Iowa women pulled off an upset over then 21st-ranked Michigan, 82-72 on New Year's Eve. Megan Gustafson led with 27 points and 11 rebounds for her 14th double-double, along with 6 blocks, which brings me to the next award. She was named the Big Ten Player of the Week once again. That makes 5 times in 8 weeks, and she's got the Hawkeyes ranked 18th this week and off to their best start since the 95-96 season. Iowa State had won 9 in a row as it began conference play last week, but after losing its opener to Kansas State, it lost again last night to Mo Bamba and the Texas Longhorns in overtime, 74-70. Lindell Wigginton scored 23 in the Kansas State loss, but was held to just 4 points last night as the Cyclones fall to 9-4. I've got to give a shout-out to Iowa Wrestling after it claimed a team title at the Midlands Championships and crowned five individual champions. Those are Brandon Sorensen, Michael Kemmerer, Alex Marinelli, Cash Wilkie, and Sam Stoll. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and on our FM frequencies, we'll have ESPN programming.
On the subject of Iowa Wrestling, very interesting, their Twitter account earlier today offered a sneak preview of the program cover for Friday night's Michigan State meet. It's got Spencer Lee on the cover. Lee currently redshirting with the Hawkeyes and wrestling unattached. So it seems to me that maybe there could be a little smoke to the fire there that we'll see Spencer Lee participating here in the second half of the season for the Hawkeyes. John Bonenkamp, the Burlington Hawkeye, is set to join us next. We'll talk Hawkeyes and Wolverines. Iowa has been pretty successful against Michigan in recent years. Can they keep that stretch going tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena? We'll find out next when he joins us.